On today's episode of Luca's Inside Track, I'm joined by Tania Kessis. Tania is a singer. She's best known as a crossover artist between both pop music and opera music. In fact, she's known as the soprano of Lebanon. Tania's success has been outstanding. She has an incredible voice and she's toured the world, selling out concerts wherever she's been. But what really stands out with Tania is her message, her consistency. For over 20 years, she's been branding herself based on the message and the ideals that she holds very dear to her heart. The need for humanity, the need for coming together, the need for faith. And right now, there's never been a more important time to have all of those things. Tania Kessis, welcome to the hot seat.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
Great.
Happy Friday. Are you a Friday person?
I'm a Friday, yes. Looking forward for the weekend. But for me, it depends. Usually weekend are work also.
You're busy on weekends,
so
huh?
It depends. Depends on the weeks.
I've always wondered that with the life of a singer. Like, because you just do, I'm guessing you do recording and then you do shows. So like, what's a normal week for you? Do you have a normal week? Does that exist?
A normal week for me is working all the time. It means we don't have working hours. Not every day looks the same.
No, it is.
But if you want roughly, so we have, I do vocal training, I do studio recordings. I have a lot of time by myself thinking and planning about what I want to do next, about maybe events that I have to prepare, things I have to release. Photo shoots, shootings. Yeah. Now, you know, with social media, I'm trying lately to be very active.
It becomes more of a full-time job.
So it's, yes.
And you just landed. You just landed, right? You flew in from Lebanon,
yes.
Right? Late last night. You flew especially to be on the Inside Track. Look at that. Massive fan. She's watched all the episodes.
Of course.
But look, we're delighted to have you on board. So welcome.
I am too, really. I love the spirit and the mood of the episode.
Thank you.
I'm really happy to be here.
It means a lot to me. So let's start with the mug, Tania. Tell me about the mug.
Oh.
What's going on?
So, the mug is, it's Zaman, it's written Zaman. So when I launched my latest album, which is called Zaman, and first to explain what's about this album is a compilation of stories. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of storytelling about a woman's life. So it starts with her first love, so the naive love, the secret love.
Yeah. Those are the best loves.
Exactly. Yeah,
the forbidden love.
Really.
Yeah.
The beginnings, you know.
Yeah.
The relationships, the resilience of women during war, mm-hmm. as a mom, as a wife, and separation, hard times. So it's really a compilation of songs from different also musical style.
Yeah.
And Zaman, it means it's a period of time. So it can be the past, and it can be a period.
Yeah.
So when I launched the album, you know, there's no album anymore. We don't do CDs anymore,
CDs.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Or vinyls even.
Exactly. So it's all digital. So I thought I would print the QR code for the album.
Love it.
And so this way people can enjoy the music while having their favorite hot beverage.
Look at that.
You see?
Right? It's entertainment for the modern age.
Exactly. Love and it. I think everyone, not everyone drinks coffee, everyone drinks maybe tea or, you know, any hot drink. So everyone will use it at some point.
So you mentioned there forbidden love. You talked about early love.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the music, most people when they sing or they write, it comes from experience. Right?
Of course.
So what kind of love have you experienced in your time?
Different kind of, but the first song I wrote was out of an experience that was quite hard.
Okay.
It was the end of a relationship.
Okay.
And I remember I got this beautiful music. The song is called One Last Dance. It's in English. I was in Paris at that time and I was going to the studio and I had 1 hour on the train. And while listening to the music, I don't know how it came, but the word just came down and I could really describe what I was feeling and this hard feeling of seeing emptiness in the eyes of this person that you like, because it was the end for him, but not for me. Mm. So it was the first text I wrote.
So your heart sort of poured out. Is that normal case when for a musician, for an artist, someone who's a singer, do you sometimes feel you have to force, you know, to write something down, or do you sometimes it just comes so natural?
No, it comes. It comes naturally. And usually it comes out of pain.
Yeah. Okay.
This is where you get inspired the most.
Yeah.
When you are happy, I think you're busy just enjoying the happiness.
Yeah. So
when you're sad, you really sit with yourself. And this is how it's a kind of therapy also to write things down. And at that time, nobody knew it was something related to me. I just, you know, I recorded the song. It was out in my first album. And it's just now that I talk about it. Because it's, you know, sometimes personal issues. And sometimes it's just a random story that you want to tell. But,
so taking a step back. So for those who don't know you, most people who are watching, they'll know who you are. But some may not. So is it fair to say that you're one of the most famous crossover artists in this region, right? You come from Lebanon. You've mixed pop and opera together. You've been doing this for quite some time, right?
Yes.
And your most famous or infamous song, if you like, was the Ave Maria compilation that you had. Was it this back in 2009? Was that
2009, yes.
Right? And that was the song, if you like, that really launched you to much more regional and even global fame. And you've done massive tours. You've done, I think you had 50,000 people plus in attendance one time. You sang at Olympia in Paris. You've done Duomo in Milano. You've done, you know, here, there, and everywhere. So you're someone who comes with a lot of heritage when it comes to singing, but you were one of the first people to do the crossover back then. Correct me if I'm wrong.
In this region, yes. Some artists, I was very inspired by Sarah Brightman. She's a British singer. And of course, she was known for musical songs, and she was like, she had the lead role of the Phantom of the Opera. But in one of her albums, she did an album called Arem. Mm-hmm. And she included a lot of Oriental music, which was surprising, you know, for someone who has zero Oriental background, you know. So I loved this kind of fusion. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was not very much into Oriental music. I come from a family where we used to listen a lot to classical music and French songs. So I was a bit far from Oriental, and I used to study opera singing. So it wasn't really my...
Did you have Charles Aznavour in your house?
Of course.
My parents love Charles.
Of course.
It's like listening to Charles all day long.
Brassens, Aznavour, Jacques Brel, like all the French and Piaf, of course. Yeah. Dalida, I used to sing. I still sing a lot of for these artists. But I think the music really reflects my background as what I've been through or the experiences I've had. Being born in Lebanon, in the Middle East, I went to an American university. And then I lived in Paris, in France.
You did business marketing.
I did business marketing, just like you.
I saw the episode. I saw the episode. You're revisiting your university.
And do you know why I did business marketing, by the way? Why did you?
But you probably did it as a backup, right? So
yes,
you knew you
exactly.
wanted to be a singer. You knew you were brilliant. Everyone was telling you.
Oh, no.
No, you knew it. You don't want to say
never,
it now.
I've
you
never,
knew.
You know, I've never realized that I really could do something about it. I loved it. And I was looking forward to find a way to, you know, to live from music, but I didn't know if I would succeed or not. But my worry was always if I don't succeed or if something happened to my voice, what would I do? I'm not the kind of person who can stay at home and just do nothing and just like try to find what I can do.
Yeah.
I always feel we have purposes in life and we have to be ready to do.
And business marketing is an interesting one because it's so useful for later on in life when you need to market yourself and how to actually start making money.
It helped
you a lot.
Honestly.
So you've obviously been incredibly successful. You've done a lot of tours. You've sold out concerts and all that kind of stuff. Do you still have the same love, energy, passion that 21-year-old had?
Yes.
But really? You can tell me. This is a safe. We're in a safe zone here.
I have the same stress every time I have to step back on stage. It's always very hard for me. The first song is always very hard.
The first note of the first song as well, I'm guessing.
The first note for sure, but the first song because just like by the time I get, you know, I'm comfortable with everyone, and sometimes small concerts are more. Yeah. Impressive than big ones because you can see people, you can see
their
expressions,
eyes.
You can see that exactly. Yeah. Look, for me, it's a passion. I love it. Yeah. And if you would ask me what would be the best thing, like the best moments of my life, it's on stage.
So before I go any further, I always ask my guests for a safe word. So if there's a question you don't want to answer, you have a get out of jail card. What is your safe word, Tanya?
So I go for coffee.
You go for coffee. Thank you for not choosing a fruit. And thank you for not choosing pineapple. So why coffee? Why are you choosing coffee?
Why coffee? Because whenever I feel tired, I go for coffee. Whenever I need to spend time with someone, I go for coffee.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm just bored, I don't know what to do, I go for coffee. So I don't know.
how many coffees do you have a day?
Coffee is always the safer.
How many coffees do you have a day?
3-4.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Fine.
And do you have like a cut-off point?
But you have to know that it's very bad for the voice.
Yes.
By the way.
Is it?
So I try not to, especially when I have to perform, but I'm trying to dose it. I didn't like coffee at first.
Oh, really?
It's COVID that, like, staying at home. And
it's a good tip. I mean, not that I have the best voice, but I'll make sure before I go to a karaoke bar, I won't drink too much coffee. But are you like one of those Lebanese people that when it gets to like 11 o'clock, they've had dinner, they've gone out, and they order an espresso? Are you one of those people?
Yes. You can sleep afterwards.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
How do people order espresso and then go to sleep afterwards?
I can sleep.
It's crazy. favorite place that you ever toured?
Olympia, definitely. Yeah. Olympia was a magical.
So France obviously had a big influence on your on your career. So you left obviously Lebanon, you left university, and you went to Conservatoire in Paris. But that really did create your future platform for your success. And French was your first language. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I was better in French than Arabic. Yeah.
But you sing in multiple languages, not just French.
I do. Yes, yeah. Even in Korean.
In Korean.
Yes.
Look at that. Can you sing something for me in Korean?
Yes, of course. The Korean national anthem.
Oh my goodness, you did that. You performed that in Seoul. That's right.
Yes.
That's so. By the way, first of all, before you sing anything, what was the conversation like? Did like someone call you from the ambassador, the foreign minister of Seoul in Korea?
Okay, no.
Say, Tanya, we want you to come and sing our anthem.
It was my own suggestion.
You suggested it.
Like, you know, we have the UNIFIL in Lebanon that, you know, the United Nations interim forces that are in the south of Lebanon.
Yeah.
And so one day I had the Korean, South Korean ambassador watching one of my concerts. And he was like, can I invite the commander of the Korean contingent to watch the concert? Because he appreciates this kind of music. I said, of course. So he came. And at that, on that day, I sang my song, Jerusalem. I have a song for Jerusalem. It's a very peaceful song. And he really loved it, you know, because mainly he's on the border trying to, you know. And so he said, I want to invite you to the south and meet our soldiers and see what we do, etc. So I went, and honestly, I was very impressed because South Korea is a country where they have war, and they come to another country to avoid war. So like they left their families to, you know, I really got very touched by this story.
Because of what happened in Lebanon.
Yeah, because of what is happening. So I thought, and they sang the South Korean national anthem. I loved it. So the next day I said, they invited me again for a medal ceremony or something. Yeah. I said, you know what? I'm going to learn your national anthem. I'm going to sing it to you. He was like, what? I said, yeah. And so I did. And then he invited me. Then he invited me to Korea.
Tanya, I'm dying to hear it. You got to tell me.
And I sang it for an official opening of a huge baseball game.
Okay.
And like everyone was like, there's a blonde girl.
A Lebanese blonde lady.
What's happening?
Okay.
And there was only two Lebanese in the stadium. Yeah. The ambassador, the Lebanese ambassador and his wife.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm desperate to hear it. The opening line. Wow, that's beautiful. Honestly, I generally have goosebumps. That's fantastic. That's amazing. Yeah. It's so beautiful, by the way.
You know, I love cultures. What I was trying to tell you before when you introduced me as a crossover singer, I wanted to tell you, I come from a city, Beirut, who's very, that has a lot of contrast. And it's a melting pot also because you have very French people, Frenchy people, English people. You have a mixture of confessions. You have everything there. Yeah. You have the old, you have the new as like architecture. Mm-hmm. And I relate a lot to this city because I grew up there and I was very close to, some people are very close to nature because they come from parts of the world where there's a lot of nature. I used to, in my early childhood, we were in the mountain. But what really impacted me was the city and everything it was offering. And I find myself in it because I find a lot of contradiction also in my personality. So we'll talk about it later. But this mixture is a part of me. And I love to discover new things. And every time I used to go to a country to present a concert, on purpose, I challenged myself to learn something from the country. So one of the funny things, for instance, when I was on tour in Latin America, I wanted to learn to dance tango, although I never danced tango. But I heard that one of my musicians was a tango dancer. So I said, you know what?
Was he good looking?
I'm partnering with
you. Was he good looking?
Not bad, yes, not
makes
bad.
And
I danced tango on stage, and everyone was like, "You're crazy! You're going to the like to Argentina. You cannot dance tango on stage." And I was like, "If an American singer or whatever come to Lebanon and sing whatever song in Arabic, I will not judge how good he is, but I would really appreciate how the efforts he did." And this brings me closer to people, and it's a way for me to also to be able to discuss more things and be closer to their culture.
You're absolutely right. It's a great insight. When you adapt to the local audience, the way in which they will look at you, whether you're good or not, the fact that you're taking the time, making the effort to try and understand their culture,
exactly.
They will love you for that. They'll always remember that, by the way. Mm-hmm. Whether you did a terrible tango or you did it, you tangled off the stage. But you mentioned medals before. You've got medals as well from Lebanon. I mean, they keep giving you medals.
The most important was I was 18. I was quite young. I remember I went back home and my dad looked at me and he said, I had to wait more than 50 years to get a medal from my job, and you got a medal from the government. I cannot understand.
So what was this medal they gave
you? So I was representing Lebanon in the Francophonie Games. It's a big like kind of festival for Francophone countries. It was in Ottawa in Canada. And I was representing Lebanon. And I lost on that day for political issues because I was singing for Jerusalem.
Okay.
It was a bit challenging for them. I don't know what
happened.
Which is
ironic because Jerusalem's all about peace.
Whatever. Yeah, and it was a very peaceful song, but maybe they didn't want, you know, like a Lebanese singer, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And when I came back, the Ministry of Culture granted me an accomplishment medal, which gave me a big responsibility. I really felt that music can really convey a lot of messages. And we can be change makers. We can do a lot. And I decided on that day that I would try as much as I can to be a good ambassador for my country.
And you were 18 years old. I mean, most people that are 18 in the Lebanon, especially in their Beirut, they're out in Jemaise or Manab Khayel.
Yes, I was too.
Well, but you're trying to take on an ambassadorial role for a country. That's a big deal, Tanya.
It is something that I wanted for me because, you know, I always felt that Lebanon was a bit underrated at some point, depending how you look at it and if you really visited the country or not. But what I used to see in the media was not something I would like.
Didn't represent the country.
No. And I'm always sad to see people who sometimes highlight negative stuff about the country while, like any people who visit the country can really remember all the beautiful things. So there are things, it's a challenging country. We have a lot of hard times, but if you would ask me, I would never choose to live somewhere else.
So people that know you, they know that you what you represent, what you stand for. You sing for unity, you sing multi-faith, you try and bring people together. You sing for humanity at the end of the day. Do you feel, I mean, we're in 2025 now, do you feel there's more of a need for someone like you to sing for these types of things?
Not necessarily someone like me, but we need this more and more at all levels. If I can do it through my music, I will never stop doing it. I was telling you the Ave Maria and the Adan. For me, it's not just a religious combination; it's a song for humanity. This is how we are. This is how life is.
Yeah.
You like purple. I like black. Why should I convince you of something? We are born free, and we are born in cultures who in a way decide of a lot of decisions we take in our life. Then you can decide to be conservative or not, but you decide whatever you want to be. So as long as you respect the other, then this is how things should be.
I'm with you.
So we can do it through music. We can do it through anything. I'm not a good speaker, but I know I do it better in like in singing. And for me, even the Ave Maria, when I sing it, I never want to highlight the power of my voice. I want to go straight to the emotion because to get where you want to be, you have to be able to give the sensation to people, the emotion. So once you can convey this, these emotions, then the message is here, and then you decide to take it or not.
Feeling the passion, seeing the passion, hearing the passion, the emotion that sits behind it is more powerful than the words themselves, to be fair. So the song itself, you mentioned Ave Maria. 2009, when the song came out, because it includes a call to prayer as well, right, from Islam. So did you expect the level of backlash or negative PR around that song and what you were trying to do? Because your intentions, like you said, were very pure.
I was afraid of backlashes. Honestly, it was very minimal. What happened was very minimal. So it could have been bigger. But because I was very keen on respecting both religion and really highlight what's in common and not, as I told you, try to convince anyone from about anything. So not much they couldn't say much about it. It was just surprising. It was shocking for some people. And then that now I'm so happy to see there's a whole generation who just are used to listen to it and understand that we just live together and we just can respect each other. And more people of different religion are getting married together, and they now, it's becoming more and more, it has always been, by the way, but it's just sometimes it's hard to talk about it.
Mm. Break down those social barriers, I guess. The current album that you have, Zaman, right? Mm. It talks a lot about women, the stories of women, what they go through, the trials and tribulations. As a woman, what are you most proud about when it comes to yourself?
My independence. I think it's the thing I've been fighting for all my life. I think you are powerful when you are independent from everyone, like from your family, from your friends, from your partner, from materialistic stuff. I was talking about coffee. I hate to say I'm addicted to coffee. I'm not. I drink it because I like it, but I can stop coffee. I never smoke. I don't want to be addicted to anything. So independence for me is happiness, because really you can look at the world the way you want and you have the freedom to go the way you want. So when I started this career, and this, not many people knows it, I come from a family who was comfortable. So when I started singing, a lot of people thought I was supported by my parents. My decision when I started to take my singing lessons was I would do it as a career if I can do it by myself. And my dad was in the bank sector, so very, numbers and stuff. He couldn't understand what kind of career this could be and how you really have to invest a lot of money in it to really make it, etc. So I said, I will not ask anything from you. I will do whatever I can with my own means. This pushed me to work a lot. I become a workaholic because I had to do everything by myself. So I was starting a career, but I had to be my own manager, my own agent, my own PR, my own media coordinator, my own composer, my own. So I was, doing everything and trying to knock doors and to understand the market because I didn't know anything. And at that time, my generation, everything is changing a lot.
Our generation.
So it's not like before. Like before you had a TV station and everyone, or a radio and everyone used to listen to. Now you have, for me, it was like surprising. In our country, we have to pay to put your songs on the radio. I couldn't understand it and I couldn't afford it. So I had to go do meetings with the TV stations, with the radio stations, saying, this is what I have. I just have my talent and I need your support. And if you believe in what I'm singing, I need you to help me. And so I did it by myself. And for me, if you would ask me what my biggest pride and my biggest achievement is independence.
And has that always been there? Is that something that you've always tried to strive to get? Or
started when I was a teenager. The funny story is that my mom and I are not in a very good mother and daughter relationship. Okay. Like, it's not something bad, but it's just we have a lot of clashes. So I realized in my teenagers that I will have to impose myself, because I knew what I wanted to do. It has nothing to do with the career. She's never, on the contrary, she was very supportive, my dad too. But, you know, choices in life, things I would do or not do, it can be basic stuff. Huh? So I don't know why I saw it coming. I said, I don't want in the future to be obliged to take decisions because this is what my parents want, and then maybe get married and do whatever my husband wants. I didn't want this. I really wanted to do what I want to do. So I decided that I will work hard to be able to do it. So when I went to Paris, although, you know, I had the means, my parents were renting an apartment for me and everything, I was working at the same time. I used to have a job. I was in the tourism field. I used to go to the office in the morning till 6-7. I wished to finish and go to my singing classes. I wanted to have my salary and be independent and be able, if one day I want to buy something for myself or take a decision that I want to take, I would do it by myself.
And you've launched the Tania Cassis Academy, right?
Yeah.
This is helping young women. Is it only women and men?
No, right?
Young
kids
women
and
young
adults,
men
all
to
ages.
To develop and learn how to enhance their...
Look, the academy is something that comes from my own, what I needed when I was young. When, as I told you, in my family, nobody is in the music field. So I didn't know what to do, how, where to train, what kind of music. You know, it's funny. You know how I did the opera singing, by the way? I thought you have to do opera and then specialize in pop. I thought opera was like you do a medical studies you become like a vet, you know? I didn't get it right at all. But it helped me because I had the best musical education ever. Like
with
doing
an opera,
opera
with operatic background,
of course,
gives
because
you the
operatic
best.
Background is
it's the toughest.
It's the toughest, and because I knew I wanted to go somewhere else, I could merge. It's very hard, by the way, to go from opera to pop.
Mm. Yeah. I tried it a few times. I couldn't do it.
You did? Really?
No, of course.
What did you think?
That's not good. Coffee.
No, coffee. Okay.
So you learned opera first, and then you did a transition.
Yes, I did a transition.
But what was the reason that you wanted to break into pop as well?
Because when I was young, when I started singing, I wanted to be Michael Jackson, Madonna. Okay.
So why opera first? So then go back. Why?
Because my
opera?
Piano teacher was an opera singer.
That's it. That's the whole Tanya story is based on your piano teacher. What was the name of your piano teacher?
And I was in love at school.
With a piano teacher?
No.
Okay. Too many things.
With a boy.
What was the name of the piano teacher? What was the name of the piano teacher?
Mimi. She was a lady. She's so cute.
Does she know that Mimi is the cause of you being getting into
Mimi? Yeah, and she used to teach at my academy.
Very
afterwards.
Nice. And the boy at school who you're in love with?
Yeah, he knows.
What's his name?
Do I have
coffee?
To
you say? Can say coffee. That's
I think the whole school knows. Okay. The whole school knew, and he knows, but he's married now. So let's
keep it. You have coffee. You can use the word coffee.
That's okay. I always answer all the questions. Don't worry.
Okay.
So the academy went. I felt I had to put this passion of music somewhere. And I thought the nicest thing would be to support other talents to make it.
Have you ever like seen someone who is, there's two questions. One person who is not talented at all. And you just, from the first second, you're just like, just keep your money. Just don't even bother. Don't even try. No matter how much schooling and teaching and development, they're not going to get to a level where they think they can potentially become.
Usually, people who come to me, they don't come to become artists. They come for musical education.
Or to meet
so their parents, or to meet me. But the parents bring their kids because they know it's a place they can trust for a good musical education. Mm-hmm. And a lot of parents now, a week ago, I was sitting with one of the mom. Her daughter came, she was 6 years old. Now she's 18.
Wow.
Okay. And she told me, you know, Tanya, when I registered my daughter, I didn't expect at all for her to do concerts and events. I just wanted her to learn. And what the experience you give to the kids are like out of the world. Because what I do, because I'm well connected through my work, etc., I always find a place for the kids to perform in events, on TV shows, to record songs in the studio, to live really the experience. Now, you have kids who are talented and others that are not. In the choir, I never highlight the ones who are and the ones who are not. The beauty of the choir is that when they sing all together, they sound good. And what's the advantage is the one who doesn't sing well.
He turned off the mic.
He has to learn. No, he just has to learn how to use his voice. And we are here for this. Yeah. So everyone can sing.
And the other flip side of the question is, have you ever come across a student that's so talented that you're like, you know what? They can be bigger than me.
Yes. You know, in music, you have different styles. So there's never a real competition because usually the younger are not my, yani they have, you know, like the Taylor Swift style, yeah. The Billie Eilish, which is not my style. So, and as a competition, I would love to have them as like, and some are really good as me. And I can see that they are really getting prepared for a very nice career.
And how do you feel?
But unfortunately, a lot of them don't continue.
How do you feel when you see them developing?
Oh, I'm super proud. I invest myself a lot. I have a big team. We have teachers. I'm not the one teaching. I have a lot of like a big staff. But I'm always there watching them and following up a bit the evolution of many of them. And I'm really very proud. I'm proud and I really try to have this place as a family. Like I want them to feel comfortable when they come there because it reflects a lot on the way they evolve.
100%. You said to me before that you need two things. So I think you've said it on another show. You need two things to be successful as a singer. You need talent and you need personality.
Mm-hmm. And perseverance.
And perseverance.
Yes, I didn't say this. It's very important.
Okay.
Because talent alone, unfortunately, don't take you anywhere. We are in an era, you say, mm-hmm. now, where talent is not important. You can be not talented and be very, very known and very popular.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, things are changing a lot with social media, and you have a lot of programs who can fix your voice, fix your face. Make you beautiful, makes you sound good, everything. So talents alone is not enough. Personality is very important. Because if you don't have a personality, you will not make it anywhere. It's a shark's world. And you can be broken very, very quickly because there's a lot of people who don't want you to succeed. You know, I'm a bit far from the very aggressive word because I have my own style. Despite this, I almost like every week hear about people who are trying to close doors for me. It's normal. People like to close doors to shine. It's not my way of doing, but so you have to have a personality, but stay genuine at the same time because you have to be true to yourself and to your personality. And perseverance is very important. You cannot rest in this domain. It's a lot of work every day, not only on your voice and on your vocal training. Unfortunately, being a singer, you need a lot of marketing now. You need fashion. You need social life. You need to be present everywhere to
it's
be nice
brand.
To people.
You gotta
it's
build
a brand.
Your brand.
So exactly. You have to have a good team around you to build this brand. Hmm. So yeah.
Are you ready to take charge of the show?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So like I mentioned to you before, bag. Different questions specific to you or your industry.
Okay. The
bag is yours, Tanya. Take control of the show. Take one out at a time and we'll have a chat about it. Hey guys, it's me again. Do you get worried about giving a speech or, you know, being on a podcast or being someone that's been told to present in front of their client or to their boss? A lot of people have anxiety when it comes to public speaking. In fact, 74% of every one of us is terrified by the idea of standing in front of other people and trying to convince them of something. The good news is there's a lot of people that can help. In fact, I've launched my own training program, which I'm calling Master Pitch, which combines my 20 years of corporate background running big businesses, dealing with clients, as well as my own personal passion point of presenting in front of large audiences or being on camera, or in fact, even being on the inside track. So if you want to improve things like your tone, your pace, your storytelling narrative, and how to structure it properly, as well as to understand your audience better and to drive real impact, I'm sure I can help you out. Whether individual level or at a corporate level, my Master Pitch training program can definitely make you a better public speaker. So drop me an email at info@lukealam.com or check out my website, lukealam.com, if you want to find out more information, more details. Right, let's get back to the show. Right, what have we got?
Oof, okay.
Okay, look at that. Look at that expression. Oof. Shuhayda. Mishma'ul.
No, it's an easy one. Rank in importance. The label, the manager, the artist, the platform.
So a platform could be a streaming platform, yeah. Audio platform.
Okay, so you have two kinds of importance. You have something related really to the career for someone who's successful or someone just who wants to make it. Because sometimes you can make it without having the right content. But let's say as a real artist, what would be the... Okay, so first, the artist.
Okay, so the artist is the most important thing.
Of course, because...
But you said it yourself, you can manufacture talent.
You can manufacture, but you have to be ready for it.
No, but
the label doesn't make an artist. The manager doesn't make an artist, and the platform doesn't.
The platform could. So, for example, let's say it's America's Got Talent, right? Or The X Factor, right?
But if you're not talented, what will you put on the platform?
You put a bunch of people, but like you kind of work with them. You turn them into a certain brand. I mean, if you look at, I think One Direction?
Influencers.
Yeah. So One Direction didn't win X Factor back in the UK, but later on, One Direction became extremely successful.
Yeah.
Because they were then manufactured by the platform of X Factor, Simon Cowell, and all like that. Okay. So you can. So talent is. I agree with you, but you don't always need to have talent to be successful.
No. When I say the artist, it's not about the talent only.
Yeah.
It's about the talent, the three points we talked about. It's the talent, it's the
personality.
The personality and the perseverance. 100%. So you need these three to start.
Okay. The label. How important is the label? Do you need a label now?
Not really. You know, labels are not doing a lot. Very few. The labels take very few artists and really work on them as management, distribution. It's more distribution. Distribution, you don't need a label anymore. They don't manage a lot. Labels don't. It's not like before. Before, the label was the thing. Now, the label is more a distributor. And now you have a lot of distribution companies. You don't really.
Okay.
So the manager, I would go for the platform before the label.
Okay.
Personally.
So the label comes last.
Yeah, for me.
Okay. Nice and easy.
Because the platform is more powerful than the label now.
Yeah, it is.
If you make it on TikTok, you're a star.
Yeah.
You don't need the label. So the label will come to you after.
Yeah, and the thing, there's so many of them as well. So you think about how much work you have to put in. If you're in social or if you're in audio. I mean, this podcast, how many different audio platforms were available on? It's crazy. It's nuts. So you need to have a really strong, clear distribution plan and also tailor the content by the platform. So we start to create a platform-led strategy. So our strategy, for example, on TikTok may be different to what it looks like on Instagram versus what it looks like on YouTube and so on and so forth. So you start thinking now as a social content creator, platform first, which is crazy.
True.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Nice to know. All right. Easy ball. So we've got 7 to go.
Change the world with one song or change your world with many.
So let me explain the context. So you have an opportunity to change the world with an amazing song, but you get one song. Okay. Or you get a chance to sing for your entire career, right? Many, many songs that change your world, that make you super happy over a longer period of time.
I'll do many songs and I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Because I love to make people happy, but I have to be happy to make them happy.
100%.
So it has to start with me and then...
A lot of people that I've spoken to when it comes to their career, they look for longevity. They look for a long time.
Of course. And it's the most difficult thing.
And it's tough, right? It's tough. But they can go through their entire career without ever having a massive hit, you know? So they kind
of... And you can have one, and then it will be very frustrating because you will always be waiting for the next one to be as powerful as it is. And it's always different.
Do you ever, when you release a song now, do you ever think this song is going to be a hit? Do you have that kind of feeling, or do you have that hope, or is it more of a, you just know it? You know as you're writing it, it's going to be something extraordinary.
Before I used to, and now I feel the market, as the market is changing, you cannot really know. There are songs that on the album were for me not very, very important, and they turn out to be the most popular ones. Hmm. So sometimes it depends, you know, as I told you, we have different tastes. So of course I choose things that I like and that are part of my musical universe, but then you can never know which one is the one.
So why would people listen to your music? What do you want them to feel once they listen to it?
I always look for storytelling in my songs. So I want people to relate in a way. And usually my songs are really inspired by real stories. If it's not mine, it's from people around me. And I feel talking about things that can bother you or makes you happy is nice to share with others. So if you relate to them, you are healing them in a way, without, you know, doing a speech or giving life lessons. It's just saying, I lived the same. I went through the same. So it's okay.
You become relatable based on your experiences.
Exactly.
So you mentioned before when you were writing songs, it's a form of therapy when you're pouring out your... Do you feel like being a singer is a potentially very lonely life? And that you need that sort of level of therapy to help you cope, because you're the only one up on stage. You're the only one in that recording studio. No one else is doing it with you. You can have a team, you can have all that stuff, but at the end of the day, Tanya, it's just you, you know? So
it's a responsibility. Like, it's like you feel the weight of it. Alone, I'm a person who likes to be alone. I need my alone time.
Independence. You mentioned independence.
So I balance it well. I'm alone when I want to be alone, and I'm not when I don't want. Sometimes it can happen that I don't want to be alone, but I am. Mm. Because people cannot always understand what I feel. Even when I'm, for instance, when a few hours before a performance, I'm in a different dimension. People cannot understand it. And some people would be surprised, for instance, it's not about stress. It's about the responsibility you have once you are on stage. You are on a stage for 1.5 hours trying to do zero mistake. At the same time, you want to let go of everything you want to give to people. So it's a weird combination of trying to be perfect, but at the same time, you don't want to be like that, stuck in something that you really want to let go.
You want to be human.
You want to be human, and it takes you to another level. Yeah, you are like, you are flying in a way, and you are looking at everyone, and you are just on your cloud, and you're just singing whatever you want, and you fly. I fly with my voice. So these few hours before are a kind of preparation stage for me to be there and to get ready emotionally. So this is where I feel alone, not because I'm alone, but because I feel I don't understand what I'm going through now. So, and I have to understand them, you know? Yeah. So I have to be giving positive energy to the musicians, giving energy if I have a performer with me on stage or someone who's like having a special intervention. I have to be also good with the sound equipment, make sure everything is well set. So. Yeah. So I have to manage my internal feeling and the people around.
But that's a high state of pressure on you.
It is. Because I'm a producer also. Mm. So I'm not just an artist. Yeah. So this, we didn't talk about it. But I'm someone who create a concept. When I'm on stage, it's not just a concert. There's a story. There's a concept behind it. There's a specific setup. There are elements I'm directly related to. There are decoration props, stuff I need to handle. One time I was singing, I was surrounded by fire. Yeah, and there are things I need to manage on stage. And at the same time, I'm singing and I'm thinking about everything going and turning around me to make sure everything is really going the way I want it to be. Mm. And at the same time, looking at people and that's their expressions. So
that's a lot. You've got 100 things going through your mind. So. Yeah. So do you see you're going to continue doing this for quite some time? Because I asked the question, was one hit song or doing this for a long time?
No, I want to do it all my life.
So you want to? So you're 70, you're 80. You want to be getting on stage?
No, look, the day because my voice... The day I will not be able to sing, I will stop. And I think the academy side of it will be my comfort. Yeah. I will be more invested than of seeing people taking over and giving life experiences to people or support whoever, because a lot of people supported me in my career. So I would love to give it back at some point to any person.
I think you're already doing that, to be fair.
I'm trying. Right,
should we do another one?
Yeah.
All right.
Are singers selling their artistic integrity one commercial lyric at a time?
Are singers selling their artistic integrity one commercial lyric at a time? Which basically means people are writing songs with no meaning, with nothing, but they just want to make some money. And so the art of writing great music is kind of a dying art. How do you feel about
it? It is dying now, but these type of songs are meant to be more focused on the melody than on the lyrics. So a successful song is a beautiful combination between a very beautiful tune, a beautiful melody, and very powerful lyrics, or a very nice storytelling. Sometimes, unfortunately, you have a beautiful melody that people can catch, because even like what we call them commercial songs, they are smartly composed in a way that you would memorize them.
Yeah, they're hooks, but they're not.
They're hooks.
Yeah.
So it's a musical hook, but it's not. It doesn't give you any.
You're not going to listen to it in 20 years' time.
Psychology. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you might, but to dance.
Oof.
Yeah. Look, I do believe there's music for everything. Yani, you have the kind of music that you would listen having your coffee, kind of music you would listen to sitting in a theater seat mm-hmm. and watching a performance. Mm-hmm. And you have music that you listen to in a club and you want to dance on it. Mm. You know, you cannot mix them all together.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with social media, you have more of the type of songs who don't make you dance, but are doesn't have a lot of like.
But don't you look at the songs or listen to the songs now on the radio or on the charts, whatever? Don't you just feel like it's a bit like this is.
Yeah.
This is so cheap. This like, is just cheap
these are
music.
Songs you would write when you were 12 or 14 years.
But doesn't that annoy you because you're trying to build?
Of course, of course. What annoys me more is when you see how big stars they become.
Yeah.
And how people are like, oh, they look at them as like, you know, and.
Because you have a better voice than all of them. Just to be clear, or at least 99% of them, right? So your voice is in the top echelons, but you've gone down a different type of route when it comes to your branding, your positioning. It's opera, it's pop. It's not many people can do that because they don't have the vocal range that you do. So when you see these people who openly do one thing, not particularly well, but then, like you said, become extremely commercially successful, that just would piss me off, man. I'm like, I'm better than you. Come on, you gotta, right?
Yeah. And what can I tell you? It's disappointing and it's frustrating. And I'm not worried about now. I'm worried about the future because now we still have a mix of, you know, the good influence of music that we have and the jazz, the classical music, the fusion, etc., the Latin music. You still have them. You have like good music. I don't know in a few years how it will become. Yeah. So I hope we will be able to do music that will sustain and stay a bit for the future generations. But we are lacking a lot of education, music education, in fact. And we are in a time where we want a celebrity. We want like to. Everyone wants to be a star. Everyone can be a TikToker or an influencer on social media now. No, but not everyone. The level of what you are doing has nothing to. We cannot compare it with anyone who's doing anything. No, but yeah, it's open to anyone. You know, you don't need a lot of means to do it.
Yeah, you still say you need the talent, you need the personality, you need the perseverance, right?
Because these are, it's mushrooms, it will go,
yeah.
You know, like it's just, it pop-ups, but you have to see how long it's going to last.
Yeah, I'm with you. To the next one?
Yeah. Do songs of faith and humanity still carry the same importance in 2025?
So the world is in a pretty dark place right now. At the time of recording, what's happening in Palestine, even in Lebanon, Trump keeps coming up with random stuff every week. We don't know what's happening with the trade war. It's the world's going crazy, okay? Humanity, faith, seems to be extremely tested or in short reserve. So the question really, if you read it out again, it's asking, has it lost its significance or do we need it more than we've ever needed it? Like, what's your take on it?
No, I think it's very important. For one reason, as you said, the world is going really bad and a lot of violence and wars and stuff. And you always have two sides. So each side think he's the one who's right and the other one doesn't deserve to survive or to live or to. So this side will try to impose the way he wants and the other one would answer for survival or whatever. So there's all the time a battle between them.
Conflict.
A song is here to just put both side by side and go straight to the emotion and try to find common ground. Action, reaction, usually in a conversation. If now we talk about a specific subject, you will answer me. I will say something you don't agree, you will answer me. But if I'm on stage to sing, you will not be able to answer me. But this is not the point. The point is for me to be able to convince you through emotion, not through words. To make you feel what I feel, not just to tell you what I'm convinced of. It makes sense.
This is trying... empathy. So it's about understanding what the other person is going through.
Exactly. Yeah. Because through songs and using your voice, you can explain or really like the emotion, the pain. You can feel it through the voice, through the maybe in a way you can help the world to be a better place. And then, like the Ave Maria and the Aden, you build a generation on something. Like you are, the song enters a house, enters a lifestyle, and it can change something.
Do you want to get, do you want to focus? Is that going to become a focus of yours because of what's going on in the world now, to get back into talking more about faith?
It's not going to become, it has always been, and it will always be. And it's something I've done very spontaneously. When I wrote my song about Jerusalem, it was at a time where we were not talking that much about it, you know, but I needed to say something, you know. It's the city of peace. It's the city where people should live together. It's like, it's a city where I would dream to go, and I cannot as a Lebanese. It has so many religious, big religious importance for all religions. So I've always done it, and I never wait for the, in Arabic we say nirkab al mawji, yani you go with the wave. Mm-hmm. Like there's a wave, and you follow the flow, because you will get popular because you're with the, you know.
Yeah.
No, I've not. I've always done it at a time where, like, I just feel that I need to talk about this or that.
But do you think enough people are doing that? Enough people are talking about it? Really, the people, the influencers, you mentioned, talk about Taylor Swift. Other influencers, are there other celebrities out there? Are they doing enough, or are they just trying to cover their own ass and not talk about things that really matter and showcase real humanity?
Depends what you want in life. A lot of people want just to be successful and to make money and to reach a maximum of people. But also sometimes it's not always if they are too involved, let's say, on one side. Also, it's not like, as an artist, you have to bring people together. So, but you have the freedom to tell your, say, your opinion, politically, religious, or whatever. But you are the voice of the people. So you are here to bring them something extra in their life. So I don't know, it's a character, it's a personality. Either you can do it or not. Yeah. And it's not a must. But for me, I chose to be an artist with a voice. Not only a voice, but a voice.
Yeah, with a message.
Something to say, yeah.
Yeah, nice, okay.
We want unity, but the world has never felt more divided. True and false, or false. True. Unfortunately, this is why we need unity. What's happening in the world is terrible.
What role does music play in helping to bring unity? Because historically, or awareness, we used to have back in the UK, I grew up in the UK. During the 80s, there was a big of an awareness push, or early 90s, around people that were starving during Christmas time. So they did the whole Feed the World, Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. They put all the famous singers of the time together. We don't see that much anymore, those kind of things. Right?
True.
And trying to bring, like I said to you before, all the biggest celebrities and influencers out there in the world to come together and actually sing in one voice. Because imagine all of those followers. You combine every one of those followers. You've got a quarter of the planet at least to eventually be on the same page. Why is it not happening?
Because when it's hunger, it's something. And when it's politics, it's something else. Unfortunately, our problems now is purely political. Of course, they are dying. But you have people who are on both sides. So you cannot bring them together. Now, did this NGO on Lebanon. And my aim was to bring people together, because I really believe that we need to push the young generation to be united, because it's the only way for us to make a change. And it's very powerful to be united. So for me, I had to show them something to inspire them. Mm-hmm. So I brought together around 30 celebrities, from singers to sport people to actors to bloggers or influencers, whatever, on one stage. And this brought people from all, like, of Lebanon. I had singers like Anthony Touma, who are like,
great
English.
Guy, by the way. I love Anthony.
I love him great too. Guy. So he's a wonderful singer, and he has a great personality.
Look, I used to be in a boy band long time ago. It was a tribute boy band.
You have the look for this.
Thank you so much.
You see, you have 1 point already. So now we have to see the voice and
now,
the
now you're gonna see the personality. It's got talent. The talent. 0-0-0. I'll quit while I'm ahead. But yeah, no, Anthony's a great guy. And I think if that idea that you had of bringing everyone together.
Yeah, so we brought them together.
That creates a lot of, you know, nice momentum.
Oh my God, it was an amazing momentum. So it works. But
Tabiella, let's do some more of it.
Yalla.
Come
tell
on.
Us?
Yeah.
We will.
Look, there's not enough positive stuff in the world. There's too much negative stuff. And everyone's waiting for someone else to do something. I want to do it. You can do it. We can all do it. Let's just do something. Because it's like, I've got two young kids, right? In 20 years' time, they might ask me, Dad, what did you do when all this stuff was going on? Like,
sure.
That's, and it's like, it's, I know I haven't done enough and it's bothering me. Not because I'm political, just because people shouldn't be getting killed, shouldn't be getting murdered. It's just not good enough, you know? So whatever we can do, we should do.
Especially now that you have, like, now, our generation, the internet, the flights, you travel, you discover, you meet people, you know, yeah, how people are rich in their diversity.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to meet people so different. And once you discover their culture, you see how good it is.
Yeah.
Because what you see from the surface is just reactions to things happening. But deep inside, people are good. People are genuine.
I know.
They become bad because you are attacking them all the time. Yeah. You are like all the, challenging them. So, yeah, let's do a concert. So.
Done. Khalas. Me, you, and Tuma.
You will be singing. I will start training you.
We'll do the Dabke. We'll do Jerusalem yes, meets the Dabke.
Yes.
There you go.
Done. Tell a story through a song or let your singing be the main story.
So this is about storytelling, emotions. Do you like to tell a story through a song or do you want the song to actually become the main story itself?
The song to be the main story.
Yeah. So a controversial song that you've done.
Oh.
Or like a big hit or something. Or would you like to try and tell a song through, you know, tell a story through a song?
No, it's
so
like,
it's one
like,
or the other. Do you know
it's
what I mean?
Like the Ave Maria. So it's the song, it's the singing that became the main story.
It's the song that became the story
yes,
itself.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So that was
a story.
Yeah, that was a big story.
Yeah.
At the time. And we've talked about it. Do you think there is another Ave Maria around the corner?
You know, I've been asked a lot. Like some people, 2 weeks ago, the president of a major festival in Lebanon told me, you did something so beautiful. Why don't you do a full repertoire like this? I don't think I should. It's so meaningful and so powerful. I have the message in like less than 5 minutes. Why should I talk about it for an hour and a half? It's like, it's here. The emotion is here. The message is here.
Yeah.
It talks by itself. For me, in a to repeat exactly the same message, like, of course you can in a different yeah. way, but I don't think I would do something more powerful, honestly,
yeah.
at all levels.
The storytelling in a song is a powerful thing. Have you noticed that some songs back in the old days had a really beautiful story? Okay. Whitney Houston ballads and all that stuff, and I Will Always Love You and all that. Like the emotional roller coaster would take you on. You go, hi, by the way, can you sing Whitney Houston? That song is like the craziest.
And I will always love you.
Love it.
I will always love you.
Love it, man. I love it. Impromptu. It's the hardest. Is that the hardest song in the world to sing?
Like, I'm sitting, you know, she was standing
yeah,
and
yeah,
she
yeah.
had the. So but, sorry if it was a yeah. bit weak.
But these kind okay. of songs, you know, was never weak. That was amazing. These types of songs were emotional. They had a story to them. You could feel the emotion, right? And by the end, the audience was like, you know what I mean? We don't have that so much anymore. And it ends up being the song becomes a story through something else, a controversy. But what about good old fashioned storytelling through the song itself? What can we do to bring that back?
We should. I do.
Let's do
I
it.
I do. If you look at my songs, they have stories.
What is the most powerful message in your stories?
A woman's empowerment.
How?
Like not accepting, like, you know, women go through very tough moments in their relationship, yeah. in their, you know, being able to say no and to understand that something is wrong and she needs to leave or he needs to change, or I'm not blaming the men, it's always the it's always both
it takes two
but the man can get out of it easily when he's in a toxic relationship. He can get out of it easily.
So who was he that broke your heart? What was his name? I feel like you've had your heart broken a couple of times. Come on, what was his name?
No names. Coffee.
Coffee. Was it bad at the time?
It was bad.
And did it make you change your opinion of men?
It was bad because it was my whole universe. And suddenly you feel like you lost everything.
And did you change your opinion of men because of that?
I didn't change my opinion in men. I changed my opinion in relationship. And I changed opinion of how I should handle relationships and how I should protect myself. not all men are bad, not all relationships are toxic. You have amazing stories. And I lived amazing stories, honestly. It just changed a bit my perception yeah. of things. And I just, at first it was, of course, very traumatizing. Mm-hmm. But then you get over it and you, and maybe it was meant to be for you to change and to be the way you are, like for me to change and be the way I am now.
Okay. Are you you dating anyone at the moment?
Yes.
Serious? Marriage?
Not really. No plans for kids, so healthier this way.
Okay. It's probably easier for you to touring as well, right?
No, it's more. It keeps the stars romance. And the romance. Yes.
Are you romantic? Oh, what's the most romantic thing he's done for you?
He wrote me a song.
Did he? What was the name of the song?
If I tell you, you would know who it is.
Tanya, I can guarantee you I don't know who the guy is.
I was going to use
the You see, I got the time. I'm very happy. As long as you're happy, I'm very, very happy. All right, here we go.
Empower with a song or sing the empowerment?
A lot of people, if they sing for empowerment, they make empowerment the main message that they're doing, right?
Yeah, I don't like to. No, I like to sing like...
Songs that will actually empower. Yes. So it's not it's an indirect message rather than a direct message.
Yes.
Do you think there's a lot of people still talking about empowerment and that nothing's really moved on? Do you feel there's been progress? Do you feel like
there is I feel progress, but there's still a lot to do. Okay. But it's a matter of personality.
So what is it that you're really fighting for when it comes to empowerment? What is the real message behind your songs? Is it independence or is it about equal rights? Is it about equal opportunity? What is it that you're pushing for?
Look, equal rights for me, I have my own say about this. Equal rights. Like rights, yes. Not equality, you mean. No, equal rights, yes. I thought equality. Because sometimes it's nice for a woman to be a woman. There are things that are specific for a woman. She doesn't have to be like a man. And the man shouldn't be like a woman.
Well, a man can't have a baby. So,
like
biologically speaking. They are fundamentally different.
I know. Yeah. But
contrary to what my people will claim, no, a man cannot have a baby that I'm aware of.
But for independence, for sure. This is something I like. Respect. Respect the freedom of the other, but respect the other and his choices.
Have you been disrespected a lot?
No, never.
In the industry?
Never.
They look at you, elephant. I've got an elephant in the room, okay? You're blonde, you're petite, you're Lebanese, you know, especially when you go to other places or you're in the conservatoire in Paris. Did they ever look at you and they were like, dismissed you because of where you're from, because you're a girl, any of that stuff? You never faced any of that? Your entire career, you never had any
I was a bit bullied at school.
Okay, we're all bullied.
Because I was a bit fat, but you know, this and this was hard on me.
Okay.
And this is why through the academy and the things we do, we work a lot on empowering kids not to be bullied and be able to, you know, to get over it and know how to manage this stuff.
You mentioned your mom before and about your relationship with your mother. Okay. How much of your relationship with your mom has become the source of how you feel about women and pushing for empowerment?
Not directly related. It's more my experience, but my experience with her, I mean. But It's a different, like my relationship with her is different from her relationship with my father. So as a wife and her relationship is different than as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, this played a big role for this.
You still in touch with your dad?
I am in touch with both.
Okay.
No, of course.
You're in a close...
I'm very close to my dad.
Okay.
I'm very close to
What's his name?
Yeah, Samir.
Samir?
Yes.
Great name.
It's
funny because when you grow up, the relationship between your mom and your dad plays such a big role.
I'm going to tell you something. Maybe it's taboo to talk about it, but relationship between moms and daughter are really bad most of the time.
Mm.
And these are things you don't talk about because it's very personal and it's like family issues.
Well,
why
do they clash so much? What's the issue?
Because the daughter is born with a different personality. The mother, out of love and of care for her, wants to protect her. And she thinks that the daughter will have the same experiences she had and she will have the same challenges she had. But we are born in different period of time. Challenges are different. Personalities are different. Aspirations are different. Goals are different. So you cannot impose something on your kids because this is how you think things should be. Now, there's another say that's always like in my mind that parents are always right. We always say it turned out that parents are always right because they know more of from you because they have more experience, which is normal. They can be right, but sometimes it's good to do mistakes. Mm. So if I don't do it the way I should, because this is how they see things happening, it's good for me to live it and experience it. And then I will be happy and convinced that this was not good for me.
Yeah, you learn by yourself.
But when you don't do it and you are frustrated and you live with it all your life and you don't know what to do about it, then you would live sad all your life and you will not be able to make it to get over it.
So that overprotection that you had,
100%
smothering you.
It's full of love. It's nothing bad.
It comes
bad
from a good place,
contrary,
but it doesn't. You don't.
She's not the kind of mom.
You're suffocating. You're not being able to breathe.
It is suffocating. At the same time, I had a lot of freedom at home. By the way, like being able to do this career is not easy for parents. You know, at first, like she wants to be a singer, so she was like, "You want to go and sing in restaurants? What do you want to do?" And I said, "No, I want just to learn. I want to do concerts." And then when they saw I was into classical music, it was refined and it was good. But then I had to do my own choices, and they are proud. Both of them are very proud. It has nothing to do with the career, but it's more related to personal stuff, way of looking at things, looking at relationship, looking at life, looking at friendship. Even in friendship, we don't agree, you know? She has her own way. I have my own way. So
what's your mom's name?
Colette.
Will Colette be watching?
I'm sure she will.
Hi, Colette. We love you. Should we do another question? Last one?
Last one.
All right.
So how has the expectations and responsibilities of a singer evolved?
So we talked, funny enough, we just talked about generations and you've mentioned responsibility as well.
Yes,
so.
But there's expectations first. Mm-hmm. Expectations were always for a singer to have like to really impress.
The audience expectations.
Yeah, usually it's a singer should impress on stage, vocal abilities, like interpretation, etc.
See, I don't think that's enough.
Now it's different. Now it's different. They expect a show, dances, good looking, fashion, clothes, and then social media interaction.
You need to be in sustainability. You need
merchandising.
You need to have a clear USB and different things that you would never have to thought of beforehand.
An artist has a full-time job. Can you imagine that even when you're at home, you have to post that you're having a coffee, for instance? I don't know. Like people are just looking for small details of your life.
Yeah.
And before, artists used to hide and you didn't know anything about their life. And when you saw them, it was like, oh my God.
It was magical. It was
There's only one artist like this in the world now.
Who's that?
Feyruz. She's the only artist you don't know anything about her. Anything. Like the only picture we saw of her was maybe 2 years ago, and it was like after 3 years of nothing. Mm. She kept this iconic.
It's mysterious.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. How would you want people to describe you?
I don't like to put myself in a box, in a sentence. I don't know. I feel I'm so many things at the same time, and I like people to see me the way they like to see me. I don't like to say I'm like this or I'm like that. I just hope that they can see through my soul and my songs, everything I try to give. And I hope that goes through their soul and their hearts and I can connect with them in a very different way than just, you know, basic talks and things. But I'm happy to discover every day how they see me. And everyone has a different perception.
So how are the responsibilities now also changed?
Some people see me as a church singer because I did the Ave Maria. Okay. Some people see me as a showgirl because I do shows and I do, like, I dance. I have, like, some people see me like a very quiet person because I'm very quiet normally. But some people see me like a tornado. At work, I'm a tornado. So it depends. But I'm a tornado. Like, if I have to describe myself, I'm a tornado with passion. Like, I want to do what I like to do. And I would give my whole to
achieve
England,
it.
In England,
we have a phrase. It's I think they used to describe certain people like this. And it's quite similar to you, I think. I think they used to describe Kylie Minogue as this.
I love her.
She was a pocket rocket. So she was petite, but she was like a rocket, right?
Yes,
so you could put it in a pocket, but she had so much fire, passion, da da da. So there you go, you're a pocket rocket.
And by the way, I like the contradictions. Mm. I don't know if you noticed, for instance, today what I'm wearing.
Okay, let's have a look. You've got a bit. I can see the boots on and the leather trousers.
No, so yeah, but it's mainly the upper part.
Okay,
it's the conservative versus the liberal.
Ah, okay, very nice.
Okay, so you can be both. You can be you can have the man side of you in your personality and the woman side. So the businesswoman, the active one, and the one who's elegant and can
You need to think about these things, right? Every time you go out,
they are part of me.
So you don't need to
think. I like to play both. No, it's part of me.
Okay.
I am both.
So we talked about the question about the expectations and responsibilities have changed, right, over time. How are the responsibilities? Have you felt more responsibility the older you get to play a different type of role than when you were much younger?
Of course.
So what's changed for you?
I'm more aware of things. So I know that everything I say can make an impact, a positive or a negative. For instance, today, everything I'm doing, even if I'm not thinking about it, I'm just talking about things I believe, really. But the more you grow up and the more you discover and you see, the more you have things to say. And when you have things to say, then you have a responsibility because people are listening to you. Mm. I'm in a position where people listen. And sometimes you want to say things that are based on your experience, but I'm not here to teach people what to do and what they should not do.
Yeah.
Everyone has his own experience and everyone will learn from his own. I don't want to be my mom and impose anything on anyone.
The fourth time you mentioned it. Hi, Colette. How are you doing?
I'm kidding.
Look, it's you do come across as a pocket rocket, someone who is.
Thank you.
But you know exactly what you want as well and who you are and who you aren't. You don't compromise. I always end the show with a blank ball.
I ask you a question.
You can ask or you can say anything that you like. You just said before, people tend to listen to what I say. So you can say what you like or ask what you like. Power is yours.
So it's mine. So I will ask you, because I'm sure each conversation, you get out of it with something new or something that inspired you or a new dimension. So what would you take as a summary of our conversation today?
So that's a great question, because basically what you're asking me on many levels is to summarize the episode, to summarize you, share my own insights, and to wrap
and
up.
And see how could I impact or
you're really good at doing this. You're much better than I am as a host.
Would you take me with you as a
co-host? Great question, 100%. After we do the dab kit with Tuma on stage. So you're asking me, what have I learned today?
Yeah.
Okay. So full elephant in the room. Okay, where it gives me a chance to be fully open.
Yes.
I didn't know much about you. And that's what I told you when we had a conversation yesterday, because I never grew up in Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
I met Fadi Al-Khatib, who sat there. I had John Ashard. I had Ricardo Karam. People tell me they're famous in Lebanon, but I didn't never grew up in Lebanon. So for me, I had to get to know them through my research. I had to get to know them through the chair, not through the TV.
And the English interviews only.
And English. Although I found a way of finding them in Arabic and finding English subtitles. But do I trust the subtitles in English all the time? Not so much. But so whilst I was doing my research about you, the more you peel, the more you get to know there are additional levels. So at first, I thought you were a singer and only a singer. Then the more you realize actually the message behind what you've been doing and the consistency of what you've been doing, then you add the quality of your voice and what you've been doing over such a long period of time, and you've maintained that, you become a different type of personality or singer in my mind. Someone who's much deeper, someone who's much richer, someone who's much more authentic and much more real, down to earth. Then you come into my house, okay? You sit in our house and you sit on the chair and you're very humble, very down to earth. You're sweet. Yeah, I don't know how to say it. You're not. So you're a lovely person. So I've learned that, you can continue to be and invest who you are and what you love over a long period of time and not lose sight of the person that you've always.
This is very important.
Yeah,
it was always my biggest fear. I don't want to change,
You've done it. Done it.
Want to, and in the industry, they tell you have to be away from people, you shouldn't mingle, you have to have, this aura. And it's somewhere it's true, but at the same time, I want, this is how I am, and this is how I want to remain.
And we have, look, we have a mutual friend, right? And she did the introductions.
Yes, name and she's shout, a lovely lady.
Name shout out to Dana. and she told me about you, and she told me you were lovely and you were down to earth and very, very sweet. And that's who you are. So yes, you know, Tania, the singer, the opera singer, done crossover, who sold out concerts, who's got amazing message, great voice, is one person. But that's just one side of the other person, which is just the human who likes to have four coffees and an espresso around midnight, you know, and who's just trying to be themselves at all the time. And that's just a wonderful thing. So that's what I've learned. Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's been a real pleasure. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you. Same here.
Let's stay in touch.
Of course.
We're going to do that. We're going to do that.
We should do it. Yeah. We will.
All right.
We have to sing, prepare for a concert.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry. I'll go.
We have plans.
Yeah, yeah. I've got my old boy band outfit. I'll bring that back. I doubt I can fit into it, but I'll see what I can do. I'll practice my vocal chords. Maybe we'll do a karaoke bar one night. But look, it's been great having you on.
I want to tell you, really, I enjoyed a lot this episode.
Oh, thank
you.
No,
really. Honestly, I felt as if I knew you from before. It was so simple and so nice, and I felt it since we had our online meeting that you are really very very involved and very passionate about what you do, and it makes us happy, because I felt this interview would not be like another one, any other one, and we would be able to talk about things that really matters and are meaningful. And thank you for everything you said.
Well, I just love you more now. And on that note, please like, please subscribe, and please share. This is Lucas Inside Track, and I'll see you very soon. Thank you.